Joshua chapter 24, verses 19 and 20. Joshua has preached to the Israelites. The Israelites have responded. Joshua called for a response. He demanded that they choose this day whom they would serve. And the people had responded, and they responded well. They would not forsake the Lord. They would serve him. He is our God. And in verses 19 and 20, we get Joshua's reaction to this response. And at first glance, it's a very surprising reaction. He's called for them to be decisive and clear and come out and serve the Lord. And they have responded by telling him that they are determined and resolved and they will serve the Lord. And in these two verses, Joshua, instead of, as it were, jumping for joy, seems to throw a bucket of cold water at them. What is he doing here? Joshua said to the people, "You're not able to serve the Lord." But he's called for it. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. But then there's no hope. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you, after he has been good to you. As I say, it seems a bucket of cold water thrown at them when they've done the very thing that he called for. What's happening here? Well, I don't say that this passage is unique, but it's not common, this kind of approach. What do I mean? As we come into the New Testament, for example, and the gospel is preached to sinners, do we find this application of cold water, say, to the Philippian jailer? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But it's not unique. What is Joshua doing here? Well, let me give you some other examples along a parallel course. Take Naomi. When Ruth and Orpah, her daughters-in-law, "We're coming back with her. We will come back and serve the Lord with you. We will come back with you." What did she do? What did she say? Well, she said, "Go back. Go back to your own people. Don't come with me. Why come with me?" And she, as it were, poured cold water on them. And of course, that drew out from Ruth that remarkable statement, "I'm determined to come with you. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people shall be my people. Where you die, I shall die." Orpah went back, but Ruth came on. Naomi, very wisely, was sorting the wheat from the chaff there. She was making it very clear to the two women what was involved in this commitment. Naomi came on. Ruth came on with Naomi, but Orpah went back. You get Christ with the Syrophoenician woman. "Remember the dogs? We don't give bread to dogs," he said to the woman. "Yeah, but dogs get the crumbs," she said, "Lord." In other words, she was willing to the lowest station to get her request. And you remember when Saul was converted, Saul of Tarsus, Ananias had to tell him what great things he would suffer for Christ's sake. So I see here the preacher's responsibility. I, as a preacher, must make it clear that gospel commitment, conversion, has certain elements about it. I'm not preaching preparationism by the law. I've gone over that before, and in my works, I've explained about that. But I do say that gospel preaching must contain these elements. There's too much joking and flippancy and lightness about gospel preaching. Sinners aren't coming to Jesus as a buddy. They aren't coming to find a friend, as it were, in the first instance. Let me explain what I mean. Joshua exposes certain things. He raises certain issues. He calls on these Israelites with certain demands. First of all, a sense of inability. "You are not able." The weakness, the insufficiency, the breaking down of self-confidence, the self-opinionated pride of the sinner. Jesus says it, John 6, You can't come to me. You have no power to come to me, he says. Unless God draws you, you can't come. Human inability is made very clear by Christ in his teaching. We have no power in ourselves. We're not able to believe when we like. Repentance is not like falling off a log. We mustn't be self-reliant. And in my preaching, I must make sure that sinners know, though they are welcome and invited and urged and pressed to come, in themselves they have no power. The weakness of the law, Romans 8, 1-4, is because of the weakness of man. You are not able. You cannot. Jesus still calls sinners to repentance and faith, but he also tells them, unless my Father which sent me draw you, no man can come. The sense of inability. Is there an unbeliever listening to me? You think you could be saved at any time? You can come and trust at any time? It's not in your time. It's not in your power, my friend. You don't have the ability. You must come to Christ, casting yourself upon him in utter weakness. I cannot do it. I cannot save myself. I do not have the power to do so. I can't change. We will, says the people. You cannot, says Joshua. He gives them a sense of sin also. Holy God, jealous God, he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Now, I'm not sure that that means he won't forgive you if you repent. I think the thought may be, if you go on sinning, he will not tolerate you coming in your sins. Matthew Henry said very well about Matthew 1:21, Jesus will not save his people in their sins. He saves people from their sins. And so it is here, a sense of sin. We're not coming to Jesus as buddy, pal, friend in the first instance. We're not coming as buddy or pal. He is our friend. He is our defender. But it's when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name. And Joshua gives these hearers this sense of sin. He also gives them a sense of God. You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He, forsake the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. You see, it's the Lord he's speaking of here. A sense of God, the glory, the holiness. They've got too low a view of God in their minds. And apparently the Hebrew is remarkable here, but he is emphasizing the godness of God. And he demands total commitment. You must not forsake the Lord. You must not serve foreign gods, because if you do, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. He's not allowing himself to go down the route of decisionism and easy believism or making religion a hobby for Sunday. It's absolute 100% commitment. These things must be established at the point of conversion. This is the preacher's responsibility. And of course, we're all preachers in the New Covenant. But I'm thinking particularly perhaps of stated preachers. We must make sure that those who hear us have a real sense of their inability. Only God can give them this sense, but we must do what we can in our preaching to give this sense of inability, this sense of sin, this sense of God, and this demand of total commitment to Christ. Unbeliever, would you be saved? Then come to Jesus and forsake all other. Come to Christ and submit to Christ and come to God in Christ and come as a sent with a sense of God in your heart. Come reverently. Come sincerely. Come seeking the Lord now, trusting him with a sense of sin and a sense of your own inability. Cast yourself upon him. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. When I say seek, I don't mean put it off and come again next week. I mean now. Seek means run after the Lord now. As I say, with this sense of inability, this sense of sin, this sense of God, this sense of total commitment. Jesus said, tell them to count the cost. Jesus, many times in the gospel, drove professing believers away. Why? How? On this very ground. Unbelievers is a real transaction. I repeat the points again. As a preacher, I must make this clear to you. And as an unbeliever, you need to know this. And as a believer, of course, I've got to be given up to it, and I want to be too. I have no power in myself. I am a sinner. I have to deal with a holy and a just and a righteous God. And he demands 100% from me. When I was a young believer, my preachers used to say, you have to give nothing up. They were quite wrong. You have to give up everything and receive Christ. Christ must be all in all, for he is all in all. That's what Joshua is doing here. That's his reaction. He's bringing home the sense of inability, the sense of sin, the sense of God, and the sense of total commitment. Will the people have this? Will they admit that they're sinners, that they can't save themselves? Do they know that they're dealing with God, and God is dealing with them? And will they give themselves unreservedly and forever to God? That is the challenge. And that's Joshua's reaction. And that is my challenge to you. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know you can't save yourself? Do you know you have to deal with this holy God? Will you come to him now in Christ, repenting and believing, calling upon his name, and give yourself totally and unreservedly to God in Christ? May the Spirit make these words live in all our hearts. Amen.